Hashutfin, Chevron. So Mishnah began with two people who have properties that are adjacent to each other. Sherotzu lasos mechitza. We can continue the discussion. I think there's a lot of important issues here we need to flesh out. But Hashutfin sherotzu lasos mechitza b'chatzer. You have two partners, partners, right, who own the chatzer together. And then they decide to split it. Sherotzu lasos mechitza b'chatzer b'chatzer b'chatzer. So you build a wall in between. Now, we're going to have two explanations for this first line in the Mishnah that the Gemara is going to discuss over the next blot. We'll be in the first one today. The second one, obviously, we'll get to when the Gemara gets to it at the beginning of Gimel Med Aleph. But the first explanation is, and it's based on a Mishnah, we already mentioned this later on in Daf Yud Aleph Yud Beis, that if two neighbors or two partners share a field and they decide that they want to split it, so it depends on how big the field is, whether or not one could unilaterally force the other one to split the field. If the field is so big that after splitting it, they'll each have a field of Daud Amos by Daud Amos, then one can compel the other one to split it. If the field is not big enough to give each one a share of Daud Amos by Daud Amos, then one party cannot compel the other one to split it. They can only do it if they so desire. So what is our Mishnah discussing? When the two partners had a field that they own jointly, and then they want to split it, are we talking about a field that one of them compelled the other one to split it? Or we're talking about a field that they decided together to split. And that has a big difference in terms of how you read the first line of the Mishnah. Hashutfin sherotzu lasos mechitza. Is the rotzu talking about splitting the field in the first place? Because it wasn't big enough that one could unilaterally compel the other? Or are we talking about, no, the field was big enough that one could compel the other to split? And that doesn't depend on their rotzun, that the both of them agreed. What we're talking about is building the wall. Building the wall is up to both of them. That's something they agreed to do together. Splitting the property, one could compel the other one to do it. That's not something they necessarily decided together. If that's the pshat, and that's the way the Gemara starts off at the beginning. We're talking about a field that was big enough that one of them could compel the other one to split it against his will. Each one would be left by four amos by four amos. What is it talking about they jointly agreed to do was to build a wall? Hashutfin sherotzu lasos mechitza. They decided together to build a wall. Had they not decided together to build a wall, one could not have compelled the other one to build a wall. So from this, the Gemara infers, Hezek Re'iyah, Lo Yishmei Hezek, the fact that I am making you uncomfortable in your field or in your property from doing private activities is not considered to be damaging. And therefore, you can't compel me to participate in a wall so that you feel comfortable and private in your backyard. Hezek Re'iyah, Lo Yishmei Hezek. And we only have to build a wall because we both agreed to do that. So that's the way the Gemara assumes at the beginning. A field that's big enough that one could compel the other one to split it. What did they decide to do together was build a wall. Savrua, my mechitza, guda, is a wall. How do you know that the word, we generally translate mechitza as a wall. But it could mean, the mechitza means to split the field. That's what the Gemara suggests. Lishnach rina, on the top of Gimel Aleph, my mechitza plugda. It was splitting the field. But we just traditionally, instinctively, would interpret the phrase, the word mechitza as a guda, as a wall. Where do you see a precedence for this? The Gemara cites a braisa in Hilchos Kelayim. Kedesani mechitzas hakerem shenifritza. Again, this is based on the pasuk of Parshas Kisetze. However, the pasuk says, more quotes it over here. Pentikdash hamalea hazer shetizor tfuas hakerem. You're not allowed to plant your field. You're not allowed to plant a grain in a vineyard. You have a vineyard, you're not allowed to plant grain there. That's known as kiloya kerem. What's the halacha of kiloya kerem? It's also, and it needs to be burned. It has to destroy. It has to be destroyed. Kiloya kerem, you can't plant wheat and grapes in the same field. So what happens if you have two people with adjacent fields? One wants to plant grapes, one wants to plant wheat. The two are going to inch closer and closer together. What do you do to separate between the two? So, kidesanya, mechitzas hakerem, you had a wall in between them. If you have a wall, you can build, both of them can plant up to the wall, because they won't join up. If there's no wall, you have to distance yourself to Daud Amos, in order so that, that the two are separated, one from the other. But a wall helps as like a mechitza. This is true in other areas of halacha too. Mashal ma'adav daiman. There's, in cemeteries, you're supposed to bury tzaddik etzel tzaddik, not a tzaddik, and kovin tzaddik etzel rasha. It's real halacha. You're not allowed to bury a tzaddik next to a rasha. That's why communities typically had burial plots in cemeteries. It wasn't only because you get a group rate with the cemetery, which is a big deal, but you would buy like a large swath of, you know, a cemetery, and then the shul would lay out the cash, and then, you know, if you remember, that's the way it works in the UK. That's how they keep all the shuls in check in the UK. It's kind of like they're all underneath, I forgot what the umbrella organization is called in the UK, the United Synagogue or something, whatever it's called. Because the synagogue council or wherever the chief rabbi is the head of owns all the burial plots. So you can't get a burial plot in the UK unless you're a member of this. They own the properties too where the shuls are, which is also a big deal. But it's hard to break out of the network because it just costs so much money because they own the properties, which is expensive. They own all the burial plots. So if you want to participate in any of these things, you kind of have to buy in. Anyway, the shuls would buy these burial plots. So it's not only financially makes a lot of sense, but also halachically, there's an argument for it too, is that everyone in the say, you know, in one shul, I think this used to be more accurate than it is today, but it used to be on a similar religious level of commitment. Right? You know, people in the shul, he's a fill in the blank kind of a guy. He's this shul guy. He's a that shul guy. I don't want to label anyone, you know. But people that have it in that shul, that's probably where they are religiously. People sometimes fit into the box, sometimes they don't fit into the box. Even the box has a range within it. But you know, more or less the same. Someone from a different shul might be an entirely different level of religious commitment. So in order to prevent the problem of Ein Kovin Tzadik Etzer Rasha, they buried all synagogues together. The assumption that, what about between the two synagogues? So then they might be of different, and you might even have, right, in a large Jewish cemetery, religious Jews, non-religious Jews. So what do you do? So that's why they typically had a road in between the different sections. Daud Amos. So it's not really Ein Kovin Tzadik Etzer Rasha. It's not that we're casting aspersions, but in order to keep it to avoid the issue, you bury everyone together, and in between you have a section, you know, Daud Amos, that separates between the two. What's another option though? You could build a wall. So in Passaic, which is full of cemeteries, Jewish cemetery, it used to be so far out, no one thought Jews would ever live there, so they put all the mason there, and all of a sudden the community expanded. That's like the Jackie Robinson is also a big Jewish cemetery. They thought that would be the edge of the community, and no one would. That's why there's also a cemetery right outside Manhattan in Queens, if you've ever driven through the Midtown. LIE, yeah. But they thought that was it. You know, we'll bury them outside of Manhattan, and that'll be enough. So Passaic is full of cemeteries. So around the Breuer's community has their section in one of the cemeteries there, where Rabbi Breuer is buried there, Shimon Schwab is buried there. All the Gedolim from the Breuer's community. So the around the whole Breuer section, they have not a wall because they didn't want to put a wall. They probably weren't allowed to. They built Suras HaPesachs like we have with an Eruv. You know, pole, and a wire on top to symbolize like a doorway. It's because there's no 7 feet between their section and the next section, and they didn't want to be buried next to anybody else. So around the Breuer section, there's Suras HaPesachs. So you have a wall in between. That's a separation, even if you don't have Daud Amos. But, you know, a good idea is to have around each section to have Daud Amos to avoid a problem of Ein Kovin Tzadik Etzer Rasha. So similarly over here, like Mechitzas HaKerem, you have grapes, you have wheat. You want to plant them both in adjacent fields, so you can separate them by Daud Amos, or you can build a wall. Mechitzas HaKerem Shenifritza Omer Lo Gedor. So, but what if it falls down? So then we say to him, build a wall. Chazav Nifritza, let's say it falls down again, Omer Lo Gedor. We say to him, build a wall. Mesiyayish Hayameno, let's say they give up from building a wall, he's not complying. And he's obligated to pay. Who? So again, you see from here, it said, mechitza. What is the mechitza referring to? It's referring to a wall. So you see the word mechitza means wall, not mechitza, that we decided to split it. That we decided to split the field in the first place. Splitting the field was for sure going to happen. What did they agree in our mission to do was build a wall? Because without the agreement to build a wall, Hezek Rios, Lav Shmei Hezek, one party can't compel the other party to build a wall, because the fact that you can compromise my privacy is not considered to be a damaging that I could compel you to build a wall. It's only because we mutually agreed to do so. But you see, the word mechitza means guda, means a wall, literally. But let's just analyze this brisa, which came up by the Hachi V'Hachi, really. It came up along the way only in order to prove that the word mechitza means a wall. But once it came up, all the Rishonim here discuss it. And what does it mean? Omer Lo Gedor. We say to him, put up a wall. Who has to put up the wall? You have two parties here. One is planting grapes. One is planting grain. The two can't mix. One of them has to build a wall more than the other one. Who has to build a wall? Omer Lo Gedor. Omer Lo Gedor. Is it Omer Lo, one says to the other one, you put it up? Or is it Beis Din says to one of them, you put it up? That's two gear cells in the Gemara. Omer Lo, or Omer Lo. Assumption is they were both there and had a wall between them. The wall fell down. Assumption is now one of them is more responsible for putting back the wall than the other.
I'm saying who caused the problem for the original?
The wall fell down.
No, but originally there was a wall split between them.
They were, but they were, might have been far apart or whatever. They agreed. We don't know the history or the ancestry over here of this wall, but the wall was there, fell down. One of them is more responsible than the other. Who's the one who's responsible? Says Rashi, Oy meloy lebala kerem. You say to the bala kerem, the vineyard owner, Gedor, you put up the fence. Atash lo ye'asu gifanecha stvuas asadah, so that your grapes should not aser the grain. So it sounds like he's the aggressor, and therefore he's the one who has to put up the wall. Mishum kiloy mufisha samach bala asadah zerov samach together. They both put it up right next to the wall. When you have a wall between them, everyone can plant up to the wall. If you don't have a wall, you kind of have to separate a little bit in order to serve as a property boundary. But if you have a wall, everyone can build up to the wall. You're not supposed to plant a tree next to your fear friend's field. We'll get up to that mission in a second. Unless you separated the, so you have to separate four amas, because a tree needs space to work the tree. So you have to separate four amas for the tree, or for the kerem, or for the vineyard. The grain doesn't need that same kind of circumference, or that same kind of boundary around it, like the vineyard. Okay, so Rashi says, who is the aggressor here? Who's the one who has to build the wall? Is the bala kerem. Now, that's not because kelaim is one-sided. If anything, we would have said, if kelaim is one-sided, it would have been the tvua who's the aggressor. Why? Because look at the pasuk. The pasuk is loy sizra karmacha kelaim. Who's being addressed in the pasuk when it says loy sizra karmacha kelaim? Don't plant your vineyard with grain. So it's talking to the one who's planting the grain, lest your grain all become prohibited. So it sounds like the prohibition is primarily triggered by the Baal HaGrain, by the one who's planting the Baal HaTvua. So if anything, I would have said, who's the aggressor is the Baal HaTvua. Probably neither is the aggressor, because they both create this Iser, right? It takes two to tango in Kalaim. So you have both are really prohibiting the field on one another. But nonetheless, the Baal HaKerem is the one who has to build the wall. Why, says Rashi? Because he needs four amos to deal with his vineyard, as opposed to the Baal HaTvua, who doesn't need that same kind of circumference. So he's kind of the one who's encroaching more on the Baal HaTvua, therefore he's considered to be the aggressor. Look at the Ramban. Ramban over here, he's Gimel on the sheet. Ramban says something similar. Well, let's see the Me'iri. First, let's see the Me'iri, then we'll get to the Ramban, because the Me'iri kind of gives you the whole perspective. The first most interesting approach that's in the Me'iri is that he says, no, it's Lav Davka. He says, Yesh Apirish Atam. The last line. Yesh Mefarshim Shalashneim Oimim Lugdar. No, the Oilam, we say to both of them, Gidar. No, none of the Rishonim say this. This is unique in the Me'iri. He says, no, what it means is, you say, anyone, Gidar, someone, put up a fence. That's it. That everyone asks, Kadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Avram Avinu, he said, Lechucha me'arzkum u'alchum v'ezavicha arzah sereka. Why did Hashem choose Avram Avinu? So Chazal tell us of a whole ma'aseh that occurred, or Kazdim, and his brother Haran, who Avram Avinu jumped into the furnace. Haran did also, he was killed, he was genuine, he wasn't genuine, he was a follower, he was a leader. It's a whole story with Avram Avinu. That doesn't appear anywhere in the Chumash. We're given no introduction to Avram Avinu at all. So why did Hashem choose Avram Avinu? Pshuto Shal Mikra. Why did Kadosh Baruch Hu choose it? We have a little bit of a history of Avram Avinu, but nothing really that distinguishes him and explains why Hashem chose Avram Avinu. So Sfasemes says, I think it's Sfasemes, says that Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't speak only to Avram Avinu. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave a call to the whole world. Basco was Yotze every day. So, woe to the people who don't learn Torah properly. Who's that Basco? Who's to everyone? Or to anyone who will listen? So Kadosh Baruch Hu was saying, Lechcha me'artzcha, whoever wanted to listen would listen. Only Avraham Avinu heard the call. He was the only one who actually put it into action. So the Miri says, similar over here, if we say to everyone, Gedar, someone, put up a fence over here. Val Masarev, whoever doesn't want to participate, who sha'amash ha'chai b'achra Yusuf? If he doesn't participate, you're chai b'achra, because you're the one who broke the the participation over here, the cooperation that could have existed, and therefore you are obligated to pay. But it really is not focused necessarily on the Baal HaKerem. The Rishonim, though, don't say like that, that second Pshat in the Mi'iri. They all assume that it's we're speaking to the Baal HaKerem. Rashi explained that it's because the Baal HaKerem is really the one who's, who needs that kind of circumference around his property in order to work it, and therefore he's the one who's kind of encroaching more on the Baal HaTvua. Look over here at the Mi'iri, though, also says something similar. Zeh Shomilei Gedor, Yesh Mefarshim, Bo Baal HaKerem, Avalo Baal HaZroim. We say it to the one who owns the vineyard, not to the one who's planting the tefuah. This is not because one is usher and one isn't usher. Kalaim is shashneim nesarim. Both become usher. If anything, we would have said the aggressor is the Baal HaTvua. He's the one who triggers it. That's who the pasuk is talking to, is the Baal HaTvua. Don't plant your vineyard, kalaim. But rather, so then why is the burden put on the Baal HaKerem? And they shall gefanim mishtarshim umegadlim noifim v'holkim eitzel azroim. It's because the root, now I don't know if this is, I haven't investigated the botany of this. Is that the right word over here for this science of, what's the reality of this, I haven't checked this out, but from my limited experience in apple picking over Chalamoid, is that I believe that grain stays in its place, right? If you don't plant grain, it doesn't really develop roots and spread throughout other places. Trees in general, that I know from homeowners, if trees always getting in the sewer lines, Chas v'Shalom, and tree roots are a big cause of damage in residential life. As opposed to grain, I've never, tomatoes, some guys planting tomatoes never really interfered with someone's water line. So the grain really kind of stays in its place. It's the roots of the tree and the vineyard that are kind of wandering underground. Shagafanim mishtarshim v'gadlam noifim, they expand. V'hochem eitzel azroim, they're the ones that are moving. Grain, wheat, doesn't move. V'hein heim hagarmos ikar ha'iser. So therefore, they're the ones who are precipitating the Easter, because they're kind of moving more. That's what the Ramban says too. Look over here, Oiz Gimel. I have two Oiz Gimels, but the first Oiz Gimel is the Ramban. Ava gav the common core of Yosi. We'll get to Rabbi Yosi in a second. Amar Aniza Kaharcha Gazmo. Kevin Sheish Isa B'Dava Machmas HaKilayim. Here he says, we'll skip to Rabbi Yosi. We'll get back to it in a second. Liga Shehu Amakayim Kilayim B'Kerem Shabogut Chumin Shal Chaveru Vein Chaveru Nichnas B'Tchumo. Because the Baal HaKerem's vineyard is constantly expanding, it's constantly moving, the roots and above the ground, and therefore it's kind of like more encroaching on the Baal HaTvua. Rashi was a little bit more focused on the fact that it takes space to work the vineyard. The difference doesn't really seem to be too significant to me, but Rashi was focused on the fact that he needs more space, and therefore he's encroaching on the Baal HaTvua. The Meiri and the Ramban seem to imply that it's more that his stuff is expanding towards the Baal HaTvua. And that's how the Tosfos read over here, quotes Rabbi Yitzchak, over here, Oiz Beis. Ma sha'anu mechayvim Baal HaKerem Ligdol Yos mi Baal HaTvua, mishum de iser bo machmas gefan vo machmas zroim, because the iser is triggered by the gefanim, not by the zroim, not because, halachically, conceptually, the iser of Baal HaKerem rests with one party more than the other, but because shagfanim yoinkin l'meirochok yos min azroim. The roots, expand further, and therefore, he's the one who's the aggressor in this discussion, and he's the one, therefore, who has to build the wall. He's the one who has to build the wall. Tosfos takes a somewhat different approach, but same idea. But in order to understand Tosfos, you have to see later on Chaf Hei Amud Beis, I think. Have a turn to Chaf Hei Amud Beis. Chaf Hei Amud Beis. The Mishnah says, if you have a guy who plants a tree, a guy who has a well. Anybody here have wells? Wells exist. People, you have a well?
I've been to
a well. Yeah, well water. People have well water. Muncie is very popular. Yeah, they have. But a tree is bad for a well. Why? Because the roots go through. The roots go through the wall of the well and compromise the well. See, the two are not, natural neighbors. So, machikin es ha'ilam in a bar, esim chamish amah. How far do you have to distance the tree from the bar? 25 amas. That's pretty far. Ubekaruv, if it's a carob tree. Ubeshikma, I don't know what kind of tree that is. Sycamore, I think. Chamish amama, that's 50 yamas. Okay. What if a guy had a bar and somebody plants a tree next to him? So then, if your bar was first, you have to remove your tree. Bemen atzadim, a bar kedma, whether, im habor kadma, let's say the bar was there first. Kaitzitz v'noitzin damen, a guy planted a tree there, but iser, or the tree roots expanded, he has to cut down his tree. Sorry, you came, you know, ba b'tchum chavero, you came into the, you know, the circumference of the bar, it's not fair. Rabbi Yossi disagrees, look at the end of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi Yomer, afa pisha bar kedemes le'ilan, even if the well was there first, lo yikoitz, he doesn't have to cut down his tree. Each one is functioning in their own property. This guy's planting on his property. This guy is digging a well on his property. This one is using his property. This one is using his property. That's Rabbi Yossi's opinion. We pass like Rabbi Yossi. You don't want your well to be a problem with the tree. Back it off your edge of your property 25 amas. But don't tell the neighbor, if I'm going to plant, that's why we have setbacks. If anyone knows residential law, which I don't presume that you do, but if you become a homeowner, so the you learn all these things. I don't know, they don't give you like a guide when you buy a house how to learn these things, but kind of learn it by trial and error. But there's setbacks. If you wanted to dig a well, let's say, in your property, you have to have it. That's why you need a huge property to do it. Like a month ago, because you need a setback. You have to be set back from the property line. I'm sure there's ecological considerations too, but or if you want to build a garage, you can't build it on the edge of your property line. It has to be set back because no one wants like what they have in Queens, where everyone's living in like a, you know, it's a Turkish compound. No one wants that. They don't think it's aesthetic. So you can't build up to the property line. You don't mind it. You know, the compound. You're good with the compound. But anyway, people don't. It's not aesthetically nice to have, you know, wall, like, you know, where they. Looks like where they caught Osama bin Laden, you know, one of those like compounds. You can't have that. So you have to build a little bit set back from the property line. So if you want to protect your well, build it back from the property line. But you can't prohibit me, or you can't inhibit me from using my property because of your setback. Al hanizak lahachik tasma. You be machik yourself. So go over here. The Gemara says, after the two dots, Amar Rav Ashi, ki haven bei Rav Kahana, ve amin moidi Rav Yossi, but Rav Yossi, and we pass like Rav Yossi, moidi Rav Yossi begiri didei. You can't shoot, you can't have a firing range on your property and say, oh, you don't want to be bothered with it? Then back up your property. No, you can't do that. You can't shoot arrows on your property into your friends. You want to play baseball and your ball goes flying and hits someone else's house. You can't say, well, al-hanizok laharchik atzmai. On the one who got damaged, you should have backed up your house outside of home run range, you know, from my house. That's absurd. So if you're shooting arrows into your friend's property, you can't say, but anything short of that, right? I'm not shooting projectiles into your property. I'm using my property. I have the right to use my property. If it damages you, collaterally, that's your problem, and you protect yourself. We're going to have to explore Rabbi Yossi's opinion. It's going to keep coming up again and again whenever you're dealing with neighbors. If it's so then that's going to have far-reaching consequences. But let's get back to Tosfos over here. Taisus says, so Perush, Omer Lo Gadar, we say to him, you build a wall. Again, we had a wall, Mechitza here means wall, which is really all we care about. But once we're talking about this Bryce about Kalayakam, we're going to discuss it. So you have a wall between wheat and grapes. We say, and the wall falls down, we say to the guy who's planting the grapes, you build a wall. Perush Lavala Kerem, Vahu Hamazik. When you're planting a vineyard next to grain, you have to be marked 4 amos. Now this is like Rashi. You have to distance it 4 amos because it takes 4 amos to work the kerem. So you're the one who needs more space. You are like the aggressor. Even according to Rabbi Yossi, who says later on, "Anizak laharchik atzmai," Hamar Rav Ashi, come on, Ma'idi Rabbi Yossi begirei delay. Rabbi Yossi agrees if you're firing projectiles into your friend's property, that you are the one who has to make sure that he's protected. He doesn't have to protect himself. You have to make the one who should, you know, make sure that he's protected. What's the girei delay? What's the projectiles that are being fired in? to your friend's property over here because you're working your vineyard. So this Tosfos is kind of cut short. It's truncated. Tosfos in Bava Kamma gives you the full story. But if you don't want to look in Bava Kamma, because that's too much work, so the Tosfos Rid has it over here on our daf. He quotes Tosfos in the in his Bishlei Musai, but this already it's already not the Tosfos Rid original pshat. It's already found in Tosfos Bava Kamma. So look over here, four lines down. In the Tosfos Rid, or his base. They don't nearly klal, Masha Amar. The ain ze girei shanezek. Where is it? Let's go five lines down. Oh, time of the milsa. You see me at the period? Time of the milsa, who could the kasivis be madura kama? The Tosfos Rid came out in a few versions. So he said, the reason, like I said in the madura kama, which is what Tosfos writes in Bava Kamma. She'ein roshay adam lismach es gefanav oyin lenoisav ad hametzar. You can't put your vineyard or your trees until the border. Unless you have a border, a break of da'aramas. Oy she'yas together, or you make a wall. V'lam yishum time of the kelayim. It's not only because of kelayim that you have to have these boundaries in place. Da'bishar ilonois leka kelayim. By other trees, there's no kelayim. And if we would look later on in the Mishnah, you'd see later on in Chavavim and Aleph that there's a setback for trees too. Setback for trees is four amos. Loita Adam Ilan Samachodesa Avera Elmkin Hirchak Mimenu Arba Amos. That's a Mishnah Chavavim and Aleph. Not only Gifanim, not only grapes, but even any other tree requires four amos. If it's a sycamore tree and these other trees, you might need more. If there's a well there, the setback might be more. But if we're just talking about a field next to a tree, not a well or something like that, the general setback for a tree, that means how much space you have to leave at the edge of your property to put your tree back in, is four amos or a wall. Why? That's not only kelayim related. That's general residential code, building code, or is you have to have a setback for a tree of four amos. Not because of kelayim, that b'shar yiron, it's like a kelayim. Al time in the mills have mishum avodas hakerem. Because when you have, again, I don't know the agriculture here, but when you have a vineyard, you need a plow. And in order to run your plow, you need extra space. Otherwise, you will inevitably encroach on your friend's property. So that is gire delay. That's like firing projectiles into your friend's property if I'm going to run my plow over the edge of your property. That's, come on. So that's why the Baal HaKerem has to build a wall. Not because he's, the one who's the aggressor in the sense that his vineyard is moving and, is a moving target because it keeps growing and growing and growing as opposed to the grain that's stationary and kind of, remains the same size. It's because you have a secondary concern, which is your plow is plowing in. Nothing to do with kolayim. Your plow is literally, plowing into his property. That's gire delay. So even though Rabbi Yossi's opinion normally is al hanizak lachazma, you have to protect yourself from damage of your neighbor. Here he's shooting projectiles in because he's using his plow that's touching my property. Very nice. Okay, very nice. The problem is chevro. The guy who's the Baal HaKerem is the one who has to build the wall. Why does he have to build the wall? A whole bunch of reasons. The Meiri said it wasn't up to him. It was kind of like a call out from Hashem, calling out from Avinu. Whoever wants to build the wall, you build the wall. And whoever refuses is, on the hook to paying for the damages. But let's assume, like Rav HaRishayim, that this is a call specifically to the Baal HaKerem. Because his is moving, because his is, he has a plow, he needs a radius, it's a round of four amos to work the vineyard. Whatever it is, he requires more tipul than the Baal HaTvua, so he's one who has to build a wall. But what is the consequences of that? The consequences of that is, if he does not build a wall and it goes into his friend's property, he's chayv b'achra yusuf. What is he chayv b'achra yusuf for? For what? What is he paying for? His grains. When it becomes usur because of kelay HaKerem. But he's not the aggressor in kelayim. Kelayim is a joint problem. He's the aggressor in the sense that maybe my plow damaged your field. So let me pay for the damages of the plow. Why am I paying for all of kelayim? Because my plow damaged your property. So if you'll say, it's kiloyim oriented because mine are moving a little bit more towards yours. I guess it's a little bit better. But certainly, if you go with Tosfos, that what are we afraid of is the plow. Okay, so the plow is unrelated entirely to the Kalayim story, right? I need a plow to work my vineyard. Even according to Rashi and the Ramban, I need four amos to work my vineyard. So I'm kind of more of the aggressor. But that's not Kalayim related. So why am I on the hook for paying for the Kalayim, the damages that happens when the two actually meet? And now that's a forbidden relationship, right? Grapes and grain. But that has nothing to do with the reason why I was obligated to build the wall in the first place. I was obligated to build the wall because of my plow. Make up your mind. Is it because of the plow? Is it because of the climb? Climb, we're on the same plane. Why should I be obligated to pay for the climb? Simply because I didn't build a wall, which was designated, which was in order to protect you from my plow. That's the problem for Tosfos. Here, Rabbi Nachum, Nachum, for Tzavit, it's over here in the Chidushay. Rabbi Nachum asked this question, but it's really asked by all of the Achreinim. I just gave it to you. It's more of a convenient, you know, place to see the Kasha. Oh, I didn't give you the Kasha. I gave you the Teretz. Oh, I left out the Kasha. Yeah, but that's the Kasha. The Kasha is, why should, that all the Achreinim are bothered with, why should my obligation to build the wall because of the Machresha, because of the plow, have anything to do with putting me on the hook for all of the Kalayim? So Rabbi Nachum has one shot that is already really found in the Stipler and the Kilas Yaakov. Rav Asher Weiss is the same thing. All the Achreinim are saying the same thing. What do they say? They say the following. So let's think about Rabbi Yossi. What did Rabbi Yossi say? Al hanizak laharchik es atzmai. If I'm using my property, you're using your property, I'm damaging you, my tree, right, is expanding into your well. So then you say, Al hanizak laharchik es atzmai. You're being damaged. Okay, protect yourself. But I'm not on the hook for the damages that are caused by my tree, growing into your well. You want to protect your well, but set your well off the edge of your property. In fact, you built it close to the edge of your property. It's your problem, not mine. What does Rabbi Yossi mean? See, I'm trying to explain what Rabbi Yossi means is the following. Of course you're a mazik. Your roots are going into your friend's well. But he's also mazik you, in the sense that he's preventing you from using your property to the fullest because he put a well next to your property. So he's damaging you. You're damaging him. Whenever you have neighbors and you encroach on each other, you always have to ask yourself, right, who's the mazik, who's the nizek? And usually it's both of you. Usually you're preventing me from using my property, and I'm, preventing you from using your property. So we're both a mazik and a nizek at the same time. So that's probably why Rabbi Yossi said, you know what, since you're both being mazik each other, because each one of you is preventing the other one from using their property to the fullest, it's kind of like a stalemate. So like, shave al tasa odif. Let's say the classical case, Yahargo Yavor. A guy comes over to his friend, he says, kill your friend or I'm going to kill you. So what's that halacha in such a situation? Kill your friend or I'm going to kill you. So you have to kill the friend to save your own life? Of course not. No. Right? Ritzicha, even if he's not a friend. Very good. A friend, I meant, right? Your neighbor. Kol Yisrael Chaverim. Anyway. So I'm I once asked Rabbi Bleich, I said, you have one spot in the car, two guys ask you for a ride. So I was talking to Rabbi Bleich, I said, well, you want to give the ride to your friend, and if, let's say you're friendly with one of them, you can give the ride to your friend. He said, I don't understand what you're talking about. You're more friendly with one Jew than the other. How could that be? Everyone is chaver. Anyway, how could you like one more, one Jew more than the other? He didn't understand. Anyway, a kid, sir. Getting back over here. So each one, back to our mashal. Our mashal is, a guy says, I'm going to kill you or kill your friend. Of course, your tzich is yagva yav, you're not allowed to kill your friend in order to save your own life. But why is that? So Rashi says, and Rashi's explanation, for whatever reason, is more famous than that of the other Rishonim, even though there are other Rishonim who disagree. Rashi's explanation is, because my chazis, or the Gemara's explanation, this way Rashi interprets it, he has it in Chumash too, my chazis, the dama didach, sumak tvei. Why do you think your blood is redder than the blood of your friend? So many Rishonim interpret that to mean is, meaning it's like a stalemate. I have my life, his life. Yes, it's true, pikuach nefesh is derech hakol, all the surim in the Torah, but, who's pikuach nefesh? Who's ushmartam yod nefesh zeich, which should take precedence over who? So it's not the fact that Ritzicha is so chamor, it's the fact that if the whole motivation to save your own life is because of Nishmartim Yod Nanaf Shosechem, well, why is your blood redder than his? Why does your life get to come at the expense of his? So it's really a stalemate. It's my life, his life, we don't know what to do, so Shei Val Tasa Odif. So you have to, you know, sit on your hands and do nothing. That's why, if let's say we're both walking in the desert, and I have a cup of water, or I have a jug of, I have a canteen, and he doesn't have a canteen, my friend, and we're both gonna, starve to death or die of dehydration. If I have the canteen, I can drink my canteen. I don't have to give it to him. In fact, you're supposed to, because here we don't know what else to do. I have a canteen, he doesn't. You have the right to save yourself because it's not coming right at the expense of your friend. But when it's my life, his life, and there isn't kind of any needle pointing in one direction or the other, there's no reason necessarily to assume that I have a chazaka more than he has a chazaka. So then, it's not that I have a canteen and he doesn't. And we don't know what to do. So it's kind of like a stalemate. We throw our hands up. So look over here. You have Nizak and Mazak. Who's the Mazak? Who's the Nizak? I'm encroaching on you. You're preventing me. You're hamstringing me from using my property. I want to plant a vineyard. You put a well there. What do we do now? So, Al-Hanizak La'arka Kisasmo. Whoever has the problem, you have damage. It's your problem, not mine. I get to use my property. You get to use your property. Whatever, come what may. Whatever happens, happens. So that's Rabbi Yossi Svara, is that we're both Nizaks, we're both Mazaks, and therefore kind of live and let live. That's the case. That's normally the case. But if one of them is distinguishing themselves for another reason, one of them is a Mazak on a different plane, meaning one of them is using a plow, and that plow is plowing into his friend's property, well, now you just won the medal. You just solved the stalemate. You just pointed the arrow in your direction. And now there's an avalanche on you. Because now you are officially labeled as the Mazik and the other one, becomes the Nizak. So Rabbi Yossi normally holds on Nizak Lachakizazma because I'm using my property, you're using your property. Yes, it's true, infringing on each other, but it's mutual. The minute though, and what one, nothing distinguishes one from the other, the minute that you do something that distinguishes you, you need four amos around your kerem, you need a machresha, a plow, and then the plow has nothing to do with kalayim. The minute that you do that, you tip the scales in, against you, and now you're chayav for the kalayim too, because the whole thing falls on you. It now became your responsibility. Until now, we couldn't really pin it on anyone, but we just pinned it on the donkey because you have a machresha that's plowing into your friend's field, and now we pin it all. We pin everything on you. But that's the explanation that all the achrayim have over here. In Tosfos, I guess you could apply it to the Ramban too, which is that I need, four amos around my kerem. So therefore, since I need that space, I become the aggressor, and therefore he is the one who has to build the wall. Otherwise, we would say, Zem is shamish b'seich shaloi, Zem is shamish b'seich shaloi. I'm using my property, you're using your property. It's true, we're infringing upon each other, but it's mutual. The minute you do something that distinguishes you, now the whole kit and caboodle comes down upon this guy who is the one who's automatically labeled as the aggressor. Fantastic, beautiful pshat. All the Achrayim say this pshat. Wonderful, excellent. I think it works well. Makes a lot of sense. The Yad Ramah takes it one step further. There's always that one guy who takes the joke a little too far. So Yad Ramah takes it one step further. The question is, did he take it a step too far? Says the Yad Ramah, Shema Mino, over here, Dehavi Mechayev Lemigdor Beinoi Bein Chaver V'loi Gadar. Let's say you have the obligation to build a wall between two properties, and you don't build a wall. And Ganovim come and steal the stuff because it wasn't protected in your friend's property. You have to pay him because you failed to build a wall. Has to pay not only, if my grapes came over into your tefuah and made a kiloya kerem, because there, we could have pinned the tail on either donkey. The minute you did something that distinguished you, now we pin it all on you because you have a machresha, you become the aggressor. And you become the aggressor for everything. Even though we should have said you're only the aggressor for the machresha, what does that make you the aggressor for kalayim? He said, no, you become the aggressor for everything, and now you have to pay for the kalayim if your grapes go over into the tefuah. Because you become the aggressor in this equation, in this relationship. The Yad Ramah says, not only that, if you fail to build a wall, not only are you chayiv for the kalayim, but you become chayiv even if someone else comes and steals from this guy because there was no wall there protecting his property. Chavi, you understand what that means? You have a kalayim, you have a kerem, you have a tefuah. The guy's obligated to build the kerem guy is obligated to build a wall in between them. Not that his, and we said, if the kerem ends up growing over into the tefuah, he's got to pay for all the kalayim kerem. But that didn't happen. A ganav came, took all the tefuah, and ran away. Now the Baal HaKerem is obligated to pay for that too. So the tour calls in the Rosh, who asks, how can you learn that out from here? He says, a guy was obligated to build a wall between him and his friend's property, and he didn't build a wall, and Ganovim come and steal, he's obligated to pay. Says the Torah at the end of the second line, the Rosh, my father, disagreed. Dafiu parades gather b'fnei behemas chaver b'yodayim pot midinei adam ala behema. Let's say I come over to your property. It's a brisa in Maseches Bava Kamma. I come over to your property. I'm not an animal lover. You got to know that about me. But I love them. I just don't want anything to do with them. So you have a dog. The dog barks. Mamish can't handle the dogs. So I come over to your backyard. And I let the dog, I open the gate, and the dog runs away. So can you, I don't know I wonder what the law is, but can you, sue me for damages? Because your little pet poodle, Fluffy, ran away. So in halacha, you're chayav b'dinei shamay, but you're part of b'dinei adam. I didn't cause you damage. I opened up the gate. Your animal ran away. Your favorite cow and buffalo or whatever you were raising over there, chicken, ran away. A rooster now is terrorizing Queens or something. And your rooster ran away. And now it's... am I obligated to pay for the rooster? No. No. And halacha, you're not obligated to pay. So says the Rama, not only if I... How can you make... says the Rosh, I'm sorry. How can you make me obligated to pay for that which was stolen from your property because I failed to build a wall? Even if I opened up the wall that was already there and your animals ran out on Potter. Forget about a ganav. It ran away on its own. I'm Potter. How then can I be chayiv if I don't build a wall and ganavim come and steal from you? I could have opened up the wall and the animal walked out on its own. Of course, if someone else came, intervened and walked into your property, I opened your door and ganavim came. Of course, I'm Potter. Even if I opened the door and it ran out on its own, I'm Potter. So how can I be chayiv for failing to build a wall and then ganavim come and steal the wheat? Yeah, no.
You can't say that you were acting negligently.
I was.
So
oh, who was acting negligently?
When you opened the door, if you knew that you were going there in order to tell the neighbor, to tell the dog to stop barking.
No, I was going to. I hope the dog would run away forever. I hope it would run off, a bridge.
But even if there's a bill of sale, like he technically bought.
Putter, you're putter, putter. I mean, certainly not a good guy, right? You're not going to get the Man of the Year award for that, but or Jew of the Year award, right? But is what it is, man. Whatever. So you're not obligated. So how can you say if I fail to build a wall, all of a sudden now, and Ganovim come and steal, that I should be obligated to pay? That's the Rush's, proof against the Rama. So what's the Pshat over here? What's the Pshat over here in the Rama? So Chevra, I'll tell you what I think the Pshat is in the Rama. That the Stipler writes over here. The Rama must have understood Rabbi Yossi, not like we said. We said the Pshat in Rabbi Yossi is, it's similar to what we said before, but just it takes it one step further. The question is, should we take this whole lamdas one step further? But the Rama does. But he obviously understood Rabbi Yossi. It's not the pshat that each one is being mazik his friend. And we just don't know who to pin the responsibility on. So we say, it's a stalemate. But if you come with a machresha, you come with a plow, we're going to pin everything on you, even the kelayim. No. Everyone is using their property and no one is being mazik anyone. But the minute that I do something, if the case was that I'm being mazik you, you're being mazik me, just we don't know who to point the arrow of responsibility to, but if I come with a plow and plow onto your field, now the arrow of responsibility is pointing down to me, then you can really only make me chayiv for what happens as a result of my, use of my field, which is the kelayim. Fine, make me responsible for everything. What does that have to do with a third party coming? The Rama holds that, no, everybody over here, no one's being mazik anyone. I'm using my property, you're using your property. That was Rabbi Yossi. Other Mishtamish B'Shoyach Shalom, I'm using my property, you're using your property. Not being anyone is being mazik anyone else. It's just like a stalemate. I'm using my property, you're using your property. The minute, though, that I come with a machresha, right, and I kind of encroach on your property, I'm obligated to build a wall. When I fail to build a wall that I'm obligated to do, that's wrong, right? I'm not doing my neighborly duties. When I do something that's wrong, the Rama takes this one step further. It's not that all of a sudden now the Arab responsibility points to me for all of the damages that we're mutually inflicting upon each other. What ends up happening now is that when I do one Avera, I get an avalanche of Averas fall down upon me, or an avalanche of obligations fall down upon me, and now I'm responsible for anything that happens to your field, even if it has nothing to do with me in particular. Even if a Ganav. Again, Mashal Amad Avedayman. It's a Beis HaLevi, famous Beis HaLevi, HaKomish. And Parashas Vayishma. Yaakov Avinu, of course, Dina is captured by Shechem, right? And Levi and Shimon go and rescue her. And they kill all the people of Shechem, right? Yaakov Avinu is upset, you know, that how could you do this to me? We have a touchy relationship with the people of Shechem, with Umas HaElam, you're going to make us look bad. So what do they respond? Kimivallah, Sabi Yisrael, V'chein lo yaseh. This was an abomination, and so shall not be done. So what is added by the words, and so shall not be done? What is, and so shall, what is this, Shakespeare? And so shall not be done. What do you mean, and so shall not be done? What does that add? Kinevogah Sabi Yisrael, that's enough. And, you know, tragedy happened, an unspeakable tragedy. This, you know, Dina was attacked. What does that have to do with V'chein lo yaseh, and so shall not be done? So Beis HaLevi says such a far-reaching yisoid, we're not going to have time to develop fully, but the Beis HaLevi says something so important to Hashkafa. He says, no, what they meant to say was, they didn't understand Yisrael. What they were saying was, you can't do this to the daughter of Yaakov Avinu. And maybe you'll say, they didn't know that she was the daughter of Yaakov Avinu. Still, V'chein lo yaseh. You don't treat anybody this way. What does that mean? What that means is, even if I didn't realize this was Yaakov Avinu's daughter, the fact that you don't treat anyone this way compounds the Avera now. They're obligated not only for doing this to any Stam Hamoinam, they're obligated, you know, because of the additional, you know, gravity of the issue, because it was the daughter of Yaakov Avinu. Meaning, if I do something that's wrong, objectively, V'chein lo yaseh, you're obligated not only for doing that which is wrong, but if something else comes about as a result of that, which compounds that which you did wrong, you're obligated for that too. I guess a mashal, but it's not an exact mashal, is a person is a thief. In the course of the theft, someone gets killed by accident. So now you become a murderer, I believe. Right? I believe that's the case. Even if it was unintentional. You know, a guy fires a gun in a bank robbery, the floor falls through and someone on the second floor, you know, this is a lawyer Lane who gets killed. That was an accident. Yeah, but it happened in the course of a crime. I believe the law is, there's a name for it. If an accident happens, a guy's running away from a bank robbery and they get into a car crash and it's a vehicular manslaughter, and now it becomes homicide. Because the crime elevates the gravity of that which you did. It makes everything a crime, I believe. Maybe Yitzi will tell me otherwise, but I believe that's the case. But, yeah, there's a name for it, yeah. So it's over here. If you do something that's wrong, so then everything else that happened, now over here, this is not part of your crime, this was tangential to you, got nothing came. But the fact that you did something wrong makes you culpable for everything that happens as a result. And that's how the Rama understood what's going on over here. Since you're going to practice the Machresha, you're chai for the Kalayim. Why? So Taisvis and the other Mishanim said it's because you're really both of you are aggressors. It's like microaggressions. We don't know which one to point the arrow to, so you cancel each other out. But if you do something that tips in your scale, then you're the aggressor for the Kalayim. But only for the Kalayim. The Rama says, no, that's not the Pshat over here. The Pshat over here is that once you do something that makes you the aggressor, now anything that happens as a result of that, right, the Machresha makes you obligated to build the wall, even though the Kalayim is not related. Kalayim is not related to that. No one's being mazik you. I'm using my property, you're using your property. But you're chai for anything that happens as a result of the failure to build the wall. So if you're obligated for the Kalayim, which is a failure to build the wall, it's not because you were aggressor and he was an aggressor and you canceled each other out. You're chai even for tangential things once you fail to do your responsibility, due diligence as a good neighbor. So then the Rama says, if that's the case, that you're plowing with a machresha and infringing upon your neighbor's property, you're chai for Kalayim, why do you draw the line of Kalayim? Even if the Gneva happens, you should be obligated, you know, for the Gneva too, because the minute you do one thing that's wrong, we pile upon you, everything else too. All right, Chevra, yeah.
Well, it's too hot in this room.
What do we do about it?